The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Dads, you are sexy, okay? Don't worry about what people say when they say you got a dad bod or you tell stupid dad jokes. We women appreciate fathers. What guys think here on the Dana Cortez Show? What's up, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
I am the dad. DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, the dog dad of the year. Shout out to the homies out there in fatherhood. Repping.
I got to explain something. So, Anthony A, you're not even a father, and you have delved into the world of the dad joke.
He tells a dad joke every day.
Every day.
Okay, first of all, I thought they were pretty groundbreaking, intelligent, thoughtful, Dave Chappelle-esque jokes. I guess not, though.
No.
But let me tell you what the Urban Dictionary defines the dad joke as. It's a specific type of single-line dry humor. Humor that's primarily used by fathers, however, more recently, is being used by all men in general. The dad joke is a term to describe a corny or predictable joke, typically a pun, generally inoffensive. Dad jokes are traditionally told by fathers among family, either with sincere humorous intent or to intentionally provoke a negative reaction. Ooh. I think that's you, Anthony. You intentionally try to provoke us every time you tell one of your dad jokes.
You got to understand the simplicity in dad jokes, right? A straightforward punchline, baby. Like, yo, listen to this. What's the color of a windshield?
I don't know, Anthony A. What's the color of a windshield?
It's pretty clear. See?
Did that one not hit you?
Let me take a swing at this. Let me try. I never knew dad jokes.
Oh, we got the real dad stepping up to the mic, okay?
All right. What do you call a pudgy psychic?
I don't know, DJ Automatic. What do you call a pudgy psychic?
A four chin teller.
It was good.
Four chins?
You're a better father than a joke teller. But we're getting there, dude.
My timing was impeccable.
You know what I want ladies to do? I want you to call in and tell me what you think is sexy in a man. When we come back here on What Guys Think, I'm going to reveal, according to psychologist Reef Kareem, she says that there is one thing that dads have that makes them sexy to every single woman on the planet. So we'll reveal that next. Plus, should we open up the phone lines for people to tell their one-line dad jokes right now?
That's risky business, but I think we should.
Okay, so tap in with your dad jokes.
And if you're going to come with it, come correct like this. Guys, why is the color green single?
Anthony A, why is the color green single?
Because it's so jaded. Come on, Automatic, give us some energy.
Jaded green, Otto. Come on, you just hold it down.
I mean, I thought it was going to be a dollar joke, but okay, go ahead.
Phone lines are open. 833-DANA-SHOW. Get your best dad jokes ready. Ladies, you're free to call in too, and we'll put you on the radio when we come back. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you just turned the Dana Cortez Show on, it is What Guys Think. We're having fun telling some dad jokes, and I am about to reveal what psychologist Reef Kareem says is the one thing that every father has that makes him sexy to almost every woman on the planet. We'll reveal that in a little bit. But first, let's continue with dad jokes. Will Ferrell does one of the most incredible skits on YouTube where he and some other superstars, including Mark Wahlberg, tell some dad jokes.
Yeah, shout out to the All Dev Digital team who produces this.
Yes.
YouTube it on yourself. It's a fun bit. But Will Ferrell delivering dad jokes, it doesn't get better than that.
What's the most crunk place to go to the bathroom?
I don't know, Will Ferrell. What's the most crunk place to go to the bathroom?
The Little John.
That was a good dad joke. That was a great one-liner. Anybody want to get in on the dad jokes? Because I want to reveal women find sexy in fathers. What's up, Automatic?
I think I got one. Okay.
Well, you're a father. I would hope so, Automatic. Father of my child. Go ahead.
What did the police officer say to his belly button?
What did the police officer say to his belly button, DJ Automatic?
You're under a vest.
Oh, nice, dude.
That was a good one. So before we answer all these lines ringing with these one-liners, I want to reveal to you, according to psychologist Reef Kareem, she says a child can be the best wingman for a single father. Women tend to be more attracted to men who act paternal. Let me tell you why this works out for you too, Anthony, even though you don't have a child. Okay, let me tell you why.
I already knew this because when I used to take Ava to the park by myself,
oh my gosh,
you were like 100% better looking with the child.
So experts suspect that DILFs are able to compensate for the extra baggage, you know, some people call children baggage, by building nurturing skills instead of muscle. They're good dads. And so by logical extension in the mind of a woman, they must make good partners and therefore good lovers. The sexy dad is absolutely a thing for most, not all women, but for most. He reveals his tender side. He's empathetic. He's responsible, caring, and probably more settled in life. This is particularly true with a father who's involved with his children. Ooh. So why does this work out for Anthony A? How many times have you seen him volunteering to help children?
No, you're right. Anthony's always out there helping kids, whether it's coaching or maybe some after-school programs.
Right?
Yeah. Often.
Every uncle out there right now is like, hey, I'm going to borrow your kid for the weekend.
And that's very foul for people to look at kids as baggage. That's not right at all.
I agree. I don't like it.
If you ask me, I look at them as STDs.
What?
Sexually transmitted dependents.
That's what they are!
That was a dad joke.
That really was. Okay.
Not only was that a dad joke, it was an Anthony A. original, like this one right here.
Oh, here we go. Woo! Here we go.
Turn it up. What did the robot say when it got kicked?
I don't know, Anthony A. What did the robot say when it got kicked?
You got me in my nuts and bolts. I don't know. My robot's Mexican as hell. Oh, that was a bad robot, dude.
That's by far your best dad joke.
You're from Torreon, Coahuila, man, for real. All right, let's take a dad joke on line 4. It's the Dana Cortez Show. Who is this?
Hey, this is Mike.
All right, Mike, what are you calling in for, sir?
To talk to Anthony A. You there, cuz?
What's up, bro?
Hey, man, I got a question for you.
Run it.
Hey, dude, you know why mermaids, do you know why they wear seashells?
Why do mermaids wear seashells, bro?
Because they outgrew the bee shells, cuz.
Nice, dude.
This guy's coming with those dad jokes. Dude. You are now known as a dad joke guy.
What do you do when he puts cuz at the end of it? Are they crypt jokes? Because I like these. These are a lot funnier.
I gotta put the cuz in
That's
there.
That's why. I see cuz. You ain't, dog.
You Snoop know, Anthony, you're the king of the dad jokes. Maybe that means you're going to get somebody pregnant soon.
Better you than me, dude. Better you than me.
We love you for listening, man. Bye.
Have a good one.
You too.
Later.
Oh, okay, so let's continue the dad jokes on social media. Who's got the best dad joke? Dana Cortez Show on Facebook. Hit us up now on Instagram at Dana Cortez. It's What Guys Think. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Hey, it's the Dana Cortez Show. Who is this?
This is Justin. What's good, y'all?
Hey, so what's up, Justin?
Hey, man, did you hear that Mike D from the Beastie Boys is selling all his Karen's art collection?
What?
Like, worth $30 million?
Oh, my gosh. Imagine coming up on that kind of art.
Hey, peep this out, though, man. I want to know, is there anything, though, that y'all have ever bought, like, at a thrift store or some random you found out later it was worth a lot of money?
Actually, yes. My oldest daughter, you know, we're not too far away in age. For those of you who don't know, I was only 15 when I had her. She went into a thrift store.
You like us.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Yeah.
I was a young mother, and she's a very young woman. Obviously, she's young now, but she's successful. Yeah. She went into a thrift store to find something for me, and she found a leather bag with snake skin on the front. It's a designer bag. We don't know what designer it is. I mean, it is so beautifully crafted. We took it in to have it evaluated, and they said it was probably made in the 50s, and it's probably worth anywhere from $500 to $800. She paid $1 for it.
Ooh,
and got me that for Christmas. Oh, yeah, that's a come up. It's a beautiful white bag. Oh, a big come up.
What about yourself, Justin?
Like, on the low, I was doing the same thing. I was at a Savers, and I know Savers gets a lot of stuff from estate sales. And I was in there looking, and I ended up finding a picture by an artist by the name of L.A. Ouellette. And he's a famous painter who died like in the early 90s, I believe it was, or 2000s. I found it. I knew exactly what it was when I had it. So I ran into the car. I purchased it for like $5 or whatever. And then I went to have it appraised by a guy. And the dude didn't want to give me 2 minutes of his time. He's a real snooty guy. And shit. So I was like, whatever. I went to another person who I know. The frame that it's in is put together with screws and stuff. You know,
you were like, this is something. You're like, somebody put some effort into this.
And
yeah.
So when I ended up finding out, like, two of his little baby pictures I know are selling for, I think it's $8,000.
You better go take that to Pawn Stars and see Rick.
Telling you, bro, but then I get nervous, you know, man, because then Pawn Star dudes, man, he might try to put a piece of pizza on top of it or something, you know?
I know! I have a pair of Chanel sandals. They have a 2-inch heel, and when I was in the thrift store, they were just thrown in this really ugly bag, and all you could see was just red and black, the shoe. And I immediately was drawn to the shoe because it was beautiful. And when I turned it around, it's Chanel. I paid, I think, $5.99 for them. Right now, if I wanted to sell them on the reel, I could probably get $500 to $800 shoes. But I'm keeping them because I really love the shoes and I wear them every single summer.
I mean, I don't really do a lot of thrifting, but I do a lot of record shopping. So
that's kind of thrifting.
It kind of is because they're used records and I'll find something that I'll pay $1 for.
By records, you mean like vinyls?
Vinyl records, yeah. Okay. We were recently in Tennessee. I did a little record shopping and I found a couple that were worth that I paid $1 for. And when I looked them up on eBay, worth well over $200 for all of them.
Well, to come up right there, there was actually a couple in Tennessee. You just talked about that, Sean and Ricky McAvoy. They went in and they saw this West Point sweatshirt and they bought it. And come to find out, it belonged to Vince Lombardi, the iconic football coach. I mean, that's who the Super Bowl's trophy is named after.
Yeah, right.
They paid 58 cents for it and they sold it for $43,000. When we come back, we're going to list some of the biggest thrift shop come-ups ever when the Dana Cortez Show continues.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Hey, we just turned the Dana Cortez Show on. We are about to list some of the biggest thrift shop come-ups of all time. Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. I shared one earlier. My daughter, for Christmas, went into a thrift store and found this beautiful bag. It's got snake skin, and it's got these beautiful patterns and embossed in leather, and it's probably worth anywhere from $500 to $800. I mean, she didn't pay $10 for it. You know, she didn't pay that much money for it, so I started looking these things up. Otto, you find records all the time.
Yeah, I got a whole record collection. Vinyl. I got shoe collection. One thing I will tell people, if you're into like collecting shoes or collecting t-shirts, especially old rap t-shirts or old wrestling t-shirts or old NASCAR t-shirts that are really popular right now, there's a series on Netflix called Slobby's World that I watch that talks all about this stuff.
Well, now let's talk about Zachary Bodish. He saw this Picasso poster at a thrift store. He's like, oh, look at this replica. Purchased it for $14. It's in a nice frame. Turns out it's a Lino cut made by Picasso himself, and he sold it for $7,000.
What?
$7,000. Another man named John Richard paid $30 for this print bag. He's like, oh, it's cool. It's leather. So $30 at a thrift store, that's a lot of money. It's an Andy Warhol featuring the likeness of Elvis Presley. And the man sold it for $480,000.
I'm going to say something. He could have got more for that.
Oh, I think so, too.
That's crazy.
Oh, didn't know your type of the art appraisers here, DJ Automatic.
Yeah.
One New York family who doesn't want to be listed spent $3 on a, you know, just this ordinary bowl. And a woman put it on her mantle. And she said, there's something different about this bowl. Let me take it to Sotheby's and see what it's all about. It's an ancient Chinese ceramic. And sold for $2.2 million.
Damn.
For a bowl with nothing in it.
Nothing. And they paid $3 for it.
Sick.
The biggest come up, though, that I think is a man who purchased a painting for $4 because he liked the frame. He didn't like the painting. So he's removing the painting inside to toss it. And he turns it around and he realizes that he has an original print of the July 4th, 1776 Declaration of Independence. Huh. So, of course, he took it to Sotheby's and it sold for $2.4 million. The man paid $4 for it.
Is this man also named Nicolas Cage? Because you just described National Treasure.
Say, come on.
Was it Ben Franklin goggles too? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever had a big come up at a thrift store? Share your story with us right now. Now via social media. Follow us Instagram at Dana Cortez, Facebook Dana Cortez Show, and we'll be back with more in less than five.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh, this is such a great story. A woman participating in her civic duty. She's voting. She goes to cast her ballot. She's driving home and she decides to stop at the local convenience store, pick up some hot Cheetos and a lottery ticket, and won herself $2 million.
Oh! Eating hot Cheetos?
No, with the lottery ticket.
Oh!
WTF story here on the Dana Cortez Show. What's good, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
This South Carolina woman participating in democracy could not be any happier. She says she feels Like, it's because she was doing a good deed. And karma is a real thing, and I started thinking about it. I will tell you, I will admit to you, I have not always lived my life according to the rules of karmic value. I've done some bad things. And what I've found is that every time I did something bad would happen to me times three.
Times 10.
You think so?
Yes, it's always comes back tenfold.
Well, for this woman, it's 2 million times fold because she spent a dollar. And when she did the scratch off in her car, she thought she won 1,000. And her husband said, no, you need to add a few more zeros. We just won ourselves $2 million. She has not decided how she's spending her money, but she's very excited that she participated in voting. And now something so incredible happened to her.
I'm just excited she took this whole stimulus check idea to her own hands. She's like, I'm going to handle this myself.
Woo! Forget the government. I'm handling my own business.
One time I actually won a DVD player at work.
Oh,
you guys remember that? At the Christmas party?
Christmas party, I did.
Everybody was mad that I had won it because they didn't think I deserved it. Well, I did because they weren't paying me enough.
Karmic value.
Exactly.
One time I won an award for never missing a day in school for no absences. And the day they handed the award out, I was absent.
There's a little irony there. But the greatest thing I probably ever won was back-to-back fantasy football championships where I got the whole pot.
Listen to this cellar dweller. He's literally in last place.
I never won no lottery game, but I won fantasy football twice.
All right, that's your WTF story. Back with more of the Dana Cortez Show, less than 5 minutes from right now.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have heard of the March Madness, right, Sweet 16?
Of course we have. One of the greatest times in sports all year.
What if I told you we have the real Sweet 16 bracket? Because it's Halloween week, and we're talking candy!
So genius, the Sweet 16.
I love it.
Dana, who thought of the Sweet 16 bracket?
I did, actually.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was going to say automatic.
No, it was Dana's idea.
I really did. But
actually, it was my idea, but I will let her have it.
Okay? Oh, whatever. What's good, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Okay, so this is about favorite candies during this time of year. It's obviously Halloween. A lot of people are either going to be trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treating or just buying candy for your own casa house and not giving it to anyone. So tell us how we're going to break down the candy so we can reach the number one Halloween candy.
So just like the NCAA tournament, we're going to have number one seeds all the way down to number four seeds. So do you guys want, let me give you the number one seeds just to set everything up.
Okay.
Our number one seeds in our Sweet 16 Halloween bracket are number one, Snickers. Number two, M&M's. Our third number one seed is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oof, having a great year.
And our fourth number one seed is Kit Kat.
Okay, I get it. You know, phones are ringing. Let's take a call. Who's on line 8?
Hey, Dana, it's me, Rico, from New York again, baby.
Rico from New York? You sound like a wise guy. I love Rico from New York. All right, talk to me, man.
All right, listen, I heard about all your candy givings and takings and all that, but you guys forgot one candy that is the bomb in the New York City.
It's okay, what is it? What's the candy, sir?
The sweet tart.
Rico, yeah. That tastes like, hold on, Rico, that's like chalk with sugar. That's what it tastes.
That's a very easy.
Street chalk with sugar.
Yeah.
He's like, exactly. Yeah. And that's what we like. All right, so do we have Sweet Tart in our Sweet 16 Halloween bracket? Or where are we going next, Automatic?
Well, Sweet Tarts is actually a 4 seed, and they're against M&M's. So I feel like they're going out in the first round.
Oh, all right. So favorite Halloween candy. What we're doing is we're breaking down our best, and we got to eliminate the ones that we don't love as much, correct?
It's a Sweet 16 candy bracket.
All right, we'll continue when we come back. What candy should take home the championship? You are allowed to call in, so tap in on the phone lines now. Bracket is up on social media. We'll tell you how to play online when we come back. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You've heard of the March Madness Sweet 16 bracket, but you've never heard of the Dana Cortez Show Sweet 16 Halloween candy bracket. This one, I believe, will become an annual tradition. It's Halloween week here inside the Dana Cortez Show with me, Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. So Sweet 16 bracket is obviously a big deal. This is an even bigger deal. Can you break down the seeds, Automatic?
So our first game here, we got Snickers versus Twizzlers. The one seed versus the 4 seed.
Can I pick one?
Yeah, go for it.
Snickers.
Snickers, where are you going, Anthony?
I'm gonna go Snickers.
Okay. All right. And the next one, we got the 2 versus 3. We got Hershey's versus 3 Musketeers.
I'm going to have to say Hershey's.
Hershey's? Where are you going at?
I'm going to go Hershey's as well, too.
All right. In our next bracket, we got Reese's Peanut Butter Cup versus candy corn.
Why would you do that to me?
I like candy corn.
I feel like this one would go down on a wire, maybe a triple overtime situation, but nevertheless, Reese's will come out on top here.
Okay. I'm really torn because I think both are disgusting.
Oh.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Blasphemy, Dana. Don't ever talk about that, about a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
And candy corn tastes like sugary wax.
Okay, I'm about to eliminate you from the tournament.
She likes negativity cups.
Exactly. What do I have to pick one?
Yes, Dana, it's a game. You have to pick one.
I guess I'll take the cup and I'll just give it to you.
Okay, there we go. Ugh. All right, the next one we got is Butterfinger versus Starburst.
Oh, Butterfinger all day.
Actually, Butterfinger might be the most overrated candy on this list. I don't even think it should have made it into a tournament. As a matter of fact, Almond Joy should have replaced it.
You can't bring somebody into the tournament.
But what I'm saying is they probably won the play-in game, so they're going to lose this round.
Okay.
I say Butterfinger. All right, go ahead.
All right, the next one we got, M&M's versus Sweet Tarts.
Oh, come on. M&M's. I know Mr. New York earlier was talking about that sugary chalk, but M&M's all day.
All right. Twix versus Skittles.
Twix, you get a cookie and chocolate.
That one for me was very tough.
This is the marquee matchup right here that everyone's been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to have to go with Twix.
Thank you.
Okay. Next one we got. Kit Kat versus Crunch.
Kit Kat. Don't even got to think about it.
I mean, they're basically the same thing, really.
Not even tackle it like a candy bar. Not even break them up into little pieces. Just eat it whole.
And our last game in the first round is Milky Way versus Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, Milky Way. Sour Patch Kids, come on now.
I'm going with Sour Patch Kids on this one.
I think I'm going to have to go with Sour Patch Kids. I think that's the game. Yeah, so sorry.
All right, let's take a call. Line 4, who is this?
This your girl, Taylor. Why was I calling in to say Sneaker and the Sweet Tarts and Black Licorice is the nastiest candy?
Black Licorice is so disgusting. Black Licorice is
if
gross.
There's no other candy out there, I will eat Black Licorice.
Ew.
I always look forward to two things, a popcorn ball and a freaking payday.
Wow.
Well, we are not going to agree with you, Taylor.
Well, no, I'm not mad at either. Of those. They're just not high up on my selection. Shout out to the payday.
If a popcorn ball is all there is, I'm going to go in and get my face all sticky. That's fine. But a payday, I'm just like,
You know what? I think Taylor's an old soul because that is old lady stuff right there.
Oh, my God.
You're saying she likes old lady candy? You freaking eat that mint chocolate and then candy corn.
So? They wouldn't sell candy corn by the ton. If it wasn't in demand.
No, the only reason they do it is because it's orange. And if it's a theme, nobody eats it.
People eat it.
Okay, I eat candy corn.
See?
Taylor, I'm done with you. Bye.
Okay, I love you.
I love you.
All right, so we simulated all the way to the final four now, guys.
All right, okay.
In our championship round, Snickers versus Butterfinger.
Man, I say Snickers. I hate to do that to the Butterfinger. That one time I got high, that Butterfinger tastes real good. Because I don't smoke, but it was like, woo! But Snickers it is.
Shout out to Snickers, yes.
All right, Snickers in the championship. This one's like picking your favorite child here.
Okay.
Twix versus Kit Kat.
Oh, my gosh.
For me, this is very easy. Twix.
I have to go with Kit Kat.
Oh, gross.
I'm the tiebreaker, that means.
Automatic. Who is it?
Twix.
Yes! No! Yes, yes, yes.
So, in the championship.
No!
We have Snickers versus Twix.
And it's going to be Twix.
I say Twix.
Brum, brum, brum. I say Snickers, but Twix is the champion. What kind of world do we live in where Twix wins the Sweet 16?
Think about the Twix is the ultimate candy bar. It's kind of like a cookie with chocolate. And who doesn't love that?
It's the Dana Cortez Show Sweet 16 Candy Bracket.
Hey,
go play right now. Dana Cortez Show on Facebook. Follow us at Dana Cortez on Instagram. Fill out your bracket. Share it with us. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
We're going to talk about scary urban legends. I'm talking about folklore. It's Halloween week here inside the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Let me give you the definition of what folklore is. It's traditional beliefs, customs, and stories of a community passed through generations by word of mouth. My Nana used to tell me a story of a young woman who got all dressed up in a sparkly dress and snuck out of her home because back in these times, they'd have community dances. All the young people would come together, but her parents had forbidden her. But she snuck out. She gets to the dance and she sees the most beautiful man, and every woman there is enthralled by him. They love him, and he's dancing. And then she can't believe that he looks at her and he's walking toward her and he asks her to dance and they're twirling and twirling and all of a sudden she smells sulfur.
Ooh.
And she looks down and what had been long legs and feet, and this man was tall, you know, he was a tall person, were now chicken legs and feet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was pregnant.
No.
I was like, oh, this sounds
that was
like,
quick.
Yeah. No, that was my Kinsa story. No, no. So she's so frightened, she screams and she faints. And when she wakes up, the man has disappeared into smoke. And her mother explains to her, that man was the devil. And the only reason that you survived is because you fainted or he would have taken your soul. Now, that was told to me by my Nana. I've told it to my girls.
You guys had interesting tales of homecoming dances where you're from. That's what that sounded like. That was interesting.
That's Mexican folklore.
I don't know what to think about those, but... On a real note, do you guys remember the old radio station we used to work at?
Yes.
Scariest radio station on the face of the planet.
We had you doing nights and didn't tell you about the ghosts up there.
Yes, dude. Nobody told me that I used to be in old hospital.
Old mental hospital.
Yes, dude. And you would hear late at night when I was doing my late night show, you would hear little footsteps on the roof. But I remember one time when I went in to drop in my time card and I seen a little fan in the middle of the lobby swinging by itself with no breeze going on. Scared the hell out of me enough to where I would put my paycheck at risk.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm leaving.
I remember that night you called and you were like, I'm leaving. I can't be here. But I mean, we have video of there is actual some kind of black spirit flying through the air and the lights, the pendulum lights swinging and the same fan you're talking about. And then the other thing that's weird about that radio building is we've had a lot of people die from that building.
Unfortunately, get cancer. An overwhelming amount of people. You know, there was something in there that was so dark. Well, you could feel it.
I learned from The Conjuring that sometimes the spirits attach themselves to you.
Well, that's not a good one in that station, I'm telling you now. Phones are ringing. Let's take line 4. Have you ever had an experience in a place that's haunted?
Okay, so we were invited to this real-life haunted house, and I went in with 3 other people. And I'm super afraid of everything. You can't even turn off the lights in my house. So I was already freaked out when I walked in the door. We immediately went to the right and saw that the living room was a crazy mess and cobwebs and disgusting. So I wasn't even going that way. But the stupids wanted to go upstairs. So we started going up the stairs and every step was creaking, which was super freaky. And the next thing I noticed, there was like this brush of wind flying up the stairs with us. And I was so freaked out. I just kept running up the stairs. And then we turned the corner into one of the bedrooms and there was a hole in the middle of the floor. And I just couldn't handle it. I ran down the stairs. It was so scary. And then one of the guys brought a Ouija board. And I've never done one of those. Always been freaked out.
Well, isn't the Ouija board, it's supposed to have some kind of connection with the an alter universe or something, right? With the people beyond.
Yes. And apparently a man named Dale was there because we did it, our hands on the Ouija board, and it went B-A-L-E, and that was it. I had to run out. It was too scary. I can't do scary houses, haunted houses, even fake ones, and this was a real one. It was so scary.
I never met a Dale that I trusted either, so that's just...
You moron!
Did you feel... When I heard you talking about this, I felt like kind of creepy. Do you still get scared when you think about this experience?
Yes, I still feel like when some like wind brushes up against me, or I freak out. I literally jerk out of the way. It's so scary.
I don't think I could get automatic to take a step over the threshold.
No, I wouldn't go in that house. There's no reason. For what? What do you got to prove?
So when we come back, I'm going to share with you the folklore history of the Ouija board, and also probably one of the most well-known Mexican folklore tales of all time, La Llorona. Ooh. We've heard of it, but where does the story of La Llorona come from? I'll tell you next. Ghost stories. It's Halloween week here on The Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We're talking folklore. It's the week of Halloween here inside The Dana Cortez Show. Folklore, traditional beliefs, customs, and stories of community passed through generations by word of mouth. Dana Cortez, DJ Automatic, and Anthony A. All right, if you just turned your radio on, we've talked about a scary radio station is haunted.
All 3 of us worked at.
All of us. We saw those pendulum lightings moving with no one there, no fan on, no AC.
Documentation of an actual black spirit.
Moving through the building. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been sick and gotten cancer in that building.
It's so real, y'all. I waited a whole day to pick up my paycheck because I didn't want to mess with the spirits that night. So, yes.
Anthony's like, I'm not going at night. I'll be there at noon when the sun's out. And a woman called in to share her paranormal experience. And in the middle of the story, she said this.
It was so scary. And then one of the guys brought a Ouija board.
Most people are scared of the Ouija board. This was marketed as a game for a very long time, a board game. It was supposed to be able to contact spirits from beyond, dead people, basically. So what's the true history of the Ouija board? Where does it come from? It took me forever to find the history of the Ouija board, and that creeped me out in itself. People of the Victorian era were fascinated with ghosts and the supernatural. Two female mediums created the Ouija board to contact souls lost at war, specifically the Civil War. But it wasn't until 1973 that the Ouija board was considered a gateway to the devil after it was used in the film The Exorcist.
Oh.
So that's why, because not only are they talking to spirits beyond, they're talking about reaching the devil himself.
So this is before Mattel started selling it.
No, this is during that time.
This is
it's
wild.
Always been marketed as a toy.
But it would make sense that it's two women who invented the Ouija board, because the only thing that I'm more afraid of than ghosts is women's intuition.
That's true.
So
absolutely.
That's, you know, that makes sense.
So we talked about folklore and urban legends. Y'all ever heard of chupacabra?
Oh, I've seen a chupacabra.
Well, okay, I know we have, DJ Automatic. We really did see one in the side of the road. So it's supposedly a deranged furry creature who drinks the blood of goats, livestock, and according to legend, unlucky people. The story comes from Mexico. There were some sheep found drained of their blood. A few months later, a whole slew of farm animals were killed. And after that, people all over the world started citing reports of their livestock having two puncture wounds and zero bodily fluid. They had been sucked of their blood dry.
We were driving to West Texas. I saw a chupacabra on the side of the road. I was tell Dana, I was like, did you see that?
And she, tell him why you asked me that.
Because I was smoking. And she was like, I saw that. And then her next question was, should I stop? And my next answer was, are you crazy?
We kept driving. He's like, drive, drive. So now let's talk about a Mexican folklore legend that we've all heard of, the story of La Llorona. La Llorona is about a mother named Maria. She threw her children and drowned them in a river. And she did it because her husband was unfaithful. And this was her way to harm him. She immediately regretted that she'd killed her children. So legend says that if you lurk around rivers or arroyos after dark, you're going to hear her. She's wailing because she harmed her own children and she wants her children back.
I don't know if I'm buying that one, because we used to live next to the Rio Grande and I used to hear those screams and they were coyotes.
That's different than La Llorona.
I was living on it because I don't know one young Latina who wants their kids on a weekend. So that's what has me like, I'm like, yo, she's at Grandma La Llorona's house. That's where she's at. You're going to look over there.
She La Llorona. All right. So would you like to share some of your folklore urban tales with us? We would love to hear them. Tap in on the phone lines now. 833-DANA-SHOW. And this convo is continuing online. Please follow us and share those stories now at Dana Cortez on Instagram, Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Have you ever been alone in your home and it's dark outside and you're watching a movie so scary you don't even want to get out of your bed to go pee? That's what we're talking about right now. We're going to discuss the movies that frighten us the most right now inside the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
I'm already scared. DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
You know, Automatic and I are married, and I don't think we've watched a scary movie for 7 years.
What?
He is so scary, dude. The last scary movie we watched, I kid you not, is PG-13. Okay, it's not even rated R. It's called Mama. And for 2 weeks, I had to hear him, what's in the garage? Did you hear that? Is there somebody in our bathroom? Like, no,
so,
bro.
Okay, I don't mind like science fiction stuff. I don't mind alien stuff. It's just the stuff that has to do with religion.
Mama wasn't about religion.
It probably was in some weird way. It was probably about, I don't remember what it was about, but it was probably about the devil or something in some weird way.
It was about a mother and she lost her children. It was kind of like the whitewashed version of La Llorona. It's basically what it was.
Got it.
And you were just frightened.
But that
PG-13.
One wasn't that scary. There are certain ones like The Exorcist. That was a scary movie to me.
Do you know what she did? Your f***ing daughter.
The Exorcist is a horror film that was made in 1973. But that sound right there and that scene, when I hear it, the hair on the back of my neck and my arms stands up, because you're right, it's about religion. It's about, supposedly it's based on a true story of a child who was possessed by the devil, and
see,
a lot of weird stuff went down.
I feel like a lot of horror movies sometimes lean on the crutch of, oh, based on a true story, because it makes it that more frightening. But while we are on a topic, I do understand what you're saying about the religion thing, because for me, one of the scariest movies of all time is Conjuring 2.
Honey? What's wrong?
Mom.
Who's that?
I've never even seen that one because my chicken husband doesn't want to see it.
And I won't ever watch that. There's no reason to pollute
Why
my
not?
Mind with that.
I like
The Conjuring 2 actually introduced the world to the evil nun, Valak, and that was terrifying for me.
Well, if we're talking about religious movies and the devil and all the weird stuff, you guys ever seen Rosemary's Baby?
Okay, here's another classic film that we're going all the way back to the 60s. None of us were born. None of us were around. This is a creepy movie.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Satan is his father, and his name is Adrian. He shall overthrow the mighty and lay waste their temples. He shall redeem the despised and wreak vengeance in the name of the burned and the tortured. Hail Adrian!
Hail Adrian!
Hail Satan! Hail Satan!
Rosemary's Baby was filmed and released in 1968. And this is one of those, when I'm alone, if I'm watching it, the covers are up right under my nose. And I'm just so
scared. And I'm cuddling
scared.
Dana because I'm scared.
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. I'm holding my husband to protect him. Rosemary's Baby is about a young woman who's married to a very successful businessman. And what he does is trade his wife to the devil so that he can continue to be successful and become even more rich, so that she can give birth to the devil's only begotten son.
What have you done to him, you maniac?
Satan is his father, not Guy. He came up from hell and begat a son of mortal woman.
Ah! I hate that movie! I hate that movie! It's not okay! When we return, we're gonna break down the scariest movies of all time according to science, and I'll list my top two scariest movies. What are yours? Tap in on the phone lines now. 833-DANA-SHOW. Halloween week inside the Dana Cortez Show continues right after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We are discussing the movies that frighten us the most because it's Halloween week inside the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And let's go ahead and take a phone call first, and then I'll come back and I'll reveal the two movies that scare me the most. Plus, we'll share with you the list of scariest movies of all time according to science. Imagine this. You're home alone. It's dark outside. Maybe there's a thunderstorm happening and the winds are heavy and you're watching a scary movie. What is it?
So that's an easy one, because I watched it alone once and it scared the shit out of me. Have you ever seen the movie The Fourth Kind?
The Fourth Kind? No. What is it about?
It's about UFO sightings, and multiple evidence has been collected, but they say it's a dramatization of real life events.
UFOs don't scare me. I welcome the UFOs.
What
I want a new way of life.
I definitely recommend that you guys watch it, especially you, Otto, if you're not scared of it, because it's going to freak you out. I just pulled up the trailer to just watch part of it. It's light outside. I watched half of it and stopped it.
She's like, I ain't watching this no more.
Why did it scare you so much?
Because it's based on true life events. You know, murder is based on true life events. Aliens based on true life events. I don't like that unsolved mystery.
You know, it's weird when you said that. Those are the kind of movies that really freak me out. Of course, we're talking about horror, but something like Silence of the Lambs, which is a really old movie, but it still creeps me out because you know there are people like Hannibal Lecter that commit these serial crimes and they're amongst us. So it scares me.
I want to issue a challenge to DJ Automatic since he said aliens he's not afraid of them.
You want to watch
you're
it?
Sounding, yeah. Why don't we make this Automatic's first scary movie to watch since you're not afraid of them, tough guy.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Afraid of everything.
I can do it. I definitely, it's the ones that talk about religion. Those are the ones that get me scared, like The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby, the devil ones, which are probably definitely not true. But those are the ones that scare me.
I need you to watch this and I follow up. You're going to be scared, I promise you.
We're going to watch A Fourth Kind and we're going to come back and report on the scariness of it. Now I want to list my top two scariest movies. Get Out. Here's this young man who thought he found a perfect girlfriend. He's going to meet her parents. Come to find out that they want to put somebody else's mind, some old person or sick person, into his body.
And it's the story of Kanye West.
DJ Automatic.
I mean, you know, on a level it is, right? I'm not mad. I think it's the scariest hypnosis movie ever.
It's just weird, right? The little key
sound? I didn't think it was scary. I thought it was a good movie.
Oh, I thought it was so creepy because he's unaware of anything. He really thinks he's going to marry this woman, and all of a sudden, the teacup gets stirred. That sound just creeps me out. Another movie, this is a little bit older movie, The Ring. Here's this beautiful young child named Samara, and her mother and father adopt her and they love her, and she kills her mother.
What?
And the worst part about it is when Samara is under psychological evaluation, the doctor says, "You don't want to do these things, do you?"
"But I do, and I'm sorry. It won't stop."
That is scary. Girl, I've never seen that
right
movie
there.
Before.
Oh, she comes out of the TV. It's an old movie, but it's creepy. But now here's our official list. They combine horror, humans, and heart monitors. And these are the scariest movies according to science. Number 3, The Conjuring.
"You have a lot of spirits in here. But there's one that I'm most worried about because it is so hateful.
Never seen it because Otto's scared. I'm going to watch it now because I want to be
scared.
Have
you seen it?
Yeah, The Conjuring, the original one. Yeah, that's the one that introduces us to Annabelle the doll and also sets us up for The Nun Valak, too. It's a great one.
Number 2, Insidious.
I went into Dalton's room. There was something in there with him.
We took trifield and EMF readings of the whole house, wiring, alarm clocks.
I don't think bad wiring is the problem here.
I want to leave. I want to leave this house.
It's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
Just that tiny little snippet. I'm scared out of my wits and I want to watch the movie. But according to science, the number one scariest movie ever is Sinister.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know. First one I found dates back to the 60s. The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children.
Sinister was made in 2012. It stars Ethan Hawke, and he's a dad, he's an author, and he's struggling to write a follow-up book. So he moves into this home that has all these bad things that happen, but he didn't tell his wife or kids. You know, a lot of these movies, it's the same premise, right, over and over. We can go back to Amityville Horror. Even 1980s classic The Shining has elements of this.
What, not speaking to your wife before you move into a house?
Here's Johnny.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk more about the scariest movies ever. Share your favorites right now with us on social media at Dana Cortez on Instagram, Facebook, Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The top day for candy sales is October 31st. True or false, DJ Automatic? Don't answer that yet. We're going to get right into these right now. Let's welcome you to Two Dudes.
One Studio.
Yes, sir. The recap segment of the Dana Cortez Show on Spooky Season Week. And we are going to have a little fun trivia game, but we are going to be accompanied by a third bro, the one, the homie, our scumpadre, Sir Jesus, or oh Jesus.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's up, brother? You like that intro?
It was good.
Was it a little too much for you?
That was all right.
Was it a little too bro on bro for you? Is this a little too much? Pick up the energy.
I'm blushing.
Ooh, men blushing inside of Two Dudes, One Studio is what we love inside the Dana Cortez Show. So here's how it's going to go down. Oh, Jesus, and DJ Automatic. You guys are going to compete in a trivia question game about Halloween, and loser will confess the worst Halloween costume they ever had as a kid. Here we go. The first question going to you, both of you guys, right now. The word Halloween derived from a combination of All Hallows Eve. True or false?
I'm going to go true.
I'm going false.
Ooh, DJ Automatic right with the true. Ding, 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 ding. All right, here we're going to the next one. The first jack-o'-lanterns were made using turnips instead of pumpkins. Jesus.
False.
Oh.
True.
Ooh, DJ Automatic, 2 for 2.
Automatic, what are you doing?
I read a lot of senseless stuff.
Traditionally, though, they started off using turnips and then realized that pumpkins were easier because you could take out the insides.
Makes sense.
Makes sense, right? All right, guys, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. True or false, at least 80% of parents confess to eating their children's Halloween candy.
True.
True.
True. Yeah, true, of course.
Ding, 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 ding. Both y'all are correct.
Don't
yes.
call it a comeback.
Some actually say that 23% of them say that they don't actually even ask permission. All right, now.
Why would you ask permission? They live in your house.
Facts, right? I don't have kids. I don't know how this goes. All right, here we go, guys. This is the bonus round worth quadruple the points so OGs can make a comeback if he gets it right. I will be looking for you guys to raise your hand first. If you're in the car, feel free to play along. The top day for candy sales is October 31st. True or false?
False.
I'm
going to go with a false also.
Oh. Oh, Jesus had his hand up first, and he is right. October 28th is the day for the best Halloween candy sales. DJ Automatic, that leads you to confessing the worst Halloween costume you ever had as a kid.
That's easy. My mom dressed me up as a pirate every single year. She would give me one of her bandanas, and then she would paint my face with eyeliner makeup. I was a pirate literally from age 6 to 12. And then I used to have tinfoil swords when I was really lucky.
Kind of sounded like you started up in a little emo screamo band, too. Either or, let us know your worst Halloween costume as a kid at AnthonyA400 at DJ Automatic. You can keep up with OGesus on IG at OGesus with 2 Z's.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.